Everybody, this is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which you can find on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the privilege of speaking with another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hey to Tiffany. Hey, Tiffany, how's it going today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I've done a couple of quick errands today. I'm enjoying the start of the weekend, and I'm really excited to have you as a guest and to get to know you a little bit.
Well, I'm excited to be on your show. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. And could you formally introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy.
Yeah, sure. Tiffany Kittlestead, and I am originally from Spokane, Washington, in Eastern Washington State, and I'm living in Seattle right now. I spend most of my time working as a speech language pathologist.
Oh, all right, great. Well, what do you like to do for fun?
good question. You know, I really like to like explore. Like, Seattle is a really, really cool city, and I moved here about 9 months ago. So I spend a lot of time like getting to know the area and, you know, exploring, like hiking and stuff. But I also like am really involved with like a couple of like nonprofits in the area. So
all right. Oh, good. So yeah, it sounds like you are pretty busy. You've got a lot going on. Yeah. So what made you decide to become a speech language pathologist?
When I was in college, I was originally doing pre-med to go to medical school.
Okay.
And like that, it didn't work out. Like, I got into it and like, I don't really like this. But I realized that the reason I really wanted to be a doctor was because I liked neuroscience, and I was always interested in like kind of like movement disorders that resulted in like tics and like repetitive behaviors and stuff. And I realized that I really liked that because I stuttered, and I didn't want to at the time do anything with stuttering. But it felt like it was similar enough. I don't know. And so,
okay.
Yeah. And so then when I realized I didn't want to do pre-med, I really thought like, oh yeah, actually this is the reason I always wanted to do that. It was because of stuttering. And so I kind of had like a rocky journey after that though. I then declared a major in speech pathology, but after the first class, my professor told me I should quit.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she said that I would never have parents who would want to work with me because I stuttered.
Oh my God, she came right out and said that.
Yeah, and I was like 15 at the time. Like, I started college really young, and so I was like so impressionable.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You were 15 when you were in when you started college?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That's very impressive.
Well, thanks. But yeah, so it kind of like destroyed me.
Wow, but, what did you do? Yeah.
So then I quit because I was like, well, she was the department chair also, so I wasn't going to get very far.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I ended up majoring in anthropology. Which
okay.
Was, yeah, I know, kind of different.
Like. Yeah, very different.
Yeah, but I specialized in like linguistics, and I spent all of my research time, like we had to do research projects. I spent all of that working on like kind of understanding the cultural and like societal perspectives and stereotypes towards stuttering, and then like how do you like create social change and kind of like, you know, change them. So then, like, my professor in who was researching that project with me was like, why are you doing anthropology? Like, you obviously want to be a speech therapist. So then I went to grad school for speech therapy.
Did you go to another school?
Definitely.
Oh.
Yeah, I went to the University of Tennessee.
Okay.
Which I just graduated in May from.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's quite a journey.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that the University of Tennessee was welcoming and accommodating.
Definitely. I was really careful when I was picking programs because of my experience before. Mm-hmm. And so I only applied to like what I had deemed stuttering friendly universities. So it was, I had a wonderful experience.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting. Stuttering friendly universities. How did you determine what universities were stuttering friendly?
So I have like a couple of different things that I looked for, or I should say I looked to make sure they didn't have too.
Okay.
And so I would always like make sure the university I was applying to, first of all, had a fluency specialist, because not every university does.
Right.
And so, or like someone who like specialized researched fluency disorders. And a lot of those professors were people who stutter. And so most of them I knew like would most likely be cool with it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. But so that was like one thing I looked for, but then also it, like I did apply for schools where the professor didn't stutter. I just like, I actually emailed those people like individually and just kind of like asked to talk to them and like ask about their school and like told them a little bit about me and like that I stuttered and wanted to make, I just literally to ask them like, would it be okay? Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
And so some people were like, no, like you need to, or like they would say things like, well, if you came to our school, you'd have to like go through, you know, speech therapy with our program and like show us that you're, you know, capable and stuff. And I was like, okay, never mind, you know. But
wow, I actually wasn't aware that graduate programs still do that.
Definitely.
That's, yeah, that's like discrimination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you had reached out to somebody at Tennessee via email like you did the others, and they were like fine with it?
Yeah, they were great. The professor that I ended up, I actually ended up working with him, like doing research with him and starting a PhD program with him. Like we had a great relationship.
Wow.
Yeah. he emailed me back with his long email, and then he stuttered also. Mm-hmm. And then he like Skyped with me before I even applied.
Oh, so, awesome. Yeah.
It was very cool.
Yeah. Who is he? Is he or she?
It's Dr. Tim Salta-Clairlu.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with him. I know a lot of people in the stuttering community and a lot of SLPs, mm-hmm. and that's not a name that I'm familiar with, but that's awesome. That's awesome that you clicked with him and that you started work towards your PhD. That's so exciting.
Yeah, I ended up quitting, but, you know, it was
really?
Good. Yeah,
oh.
It's okay.
Well, I mean, you're young. You can always turn back to that at some other point in your journey, right?
Definitely. It's definitely on my radar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you're working now as a SLP?
Yes. As of yesterday, I just finished my clinical fellowship year.
Okay.
So that's like the first 9 months.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations. So you've got the CCC now, right?
Well, once the license comes in the mail in like 6 weeks, I'll be official, but yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
All right. So, what kind of a setting do you work in?
I'm a private practice as SLP. In like the suburbs of Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. And do you get to work with people who stutter?
Yeah, actually. So that's my, like what I want to eventually specialize in. It's like my love, kind of the only thing I wanted to do when I first started. Mm-hmm. And so I actually have had like a pretty decent start to my profession as far as like having a caseload of people who stutter. I have like I have 50 kids in my caseload and not 50 kids stutter though, but like probably 20 of them stutter. So that's it's pretty good for any caseload, honestly. Like a lot of people I know like don't have that many. So I'm like very thankful I have so many kids who stutter.
Yeah. Wow. And yeah. So what's it been like working with their parents? Are they okay having a therapist who stutters?
So far, yes. I've actually had really, really wonderful kind of interactions with my parents, with my kids who stutter, their parents. Because I think that in a lot of ways, it like makes the disorder kind of real for the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So like, especially with like preschoolers, because a lot of times they come to therapy and they're like, cure my child, you know? And so like seeing me and seeing me still have a stutter is kind of like, oh, this could be a thing. This could, you know, be their life. At the same time though, it also sends a message of like, oh, look, like, this girl is, like, successful, and she's, like, working with my children, so if my child stutters, like, it's not, like, they could still be successful, and they could, you know, live great lives and be good people and stuff. So I think it's really, really positive for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. And what about the kids themselves? What do they think about having their therapist stutter, too?
The kids love it. Like, it's great. Because, like, with the preschoolers, they all just think it's funny, which is kind of, like, adorable. And it also just, like, makes the kids, like, of all ages, like, just so, like, it makes it more okay for them. Because they are like, oh, you know, she does it too, and she's so cool. Well, like, I think that they think I'm cool. I mean, I don't know that they actually do. But yeah, and like as far as like therapy, so much of working with like school age kids and adults who stutter is counseling, and so it's so much easier I feel like for me to counsel because I get it, And so I can just be like, yeah, like that happened to me too. And like, it was not fun, you know,
right,
like,
right.
They just, you know, you can relate to them so easily.
Right. Right. So like, do they like bring up situations of like being teased and bullied and stuff like that?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of my kids, especially my school age kids, are struggling with being bullied and stuff right now. So,
yeah. Yeah. Now, well, that's great that you're able to like relate to them and, you know, share with them some approaches perhaps that worked for you from personal experience. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. And like the funniest thing, which I didn't think about going into it, is like I stutter like pretty severely. And I control it to some degree, like quite a bit, but like most of my kids like stutter less than me. And so they are like, oh, like if you can do that and you stutter more than me, like I can do that, which is not what I expected, but it's cool to see that I empower them because like, just because I stutter more than them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're probably somewhat of a role model for them. Because many times in my experience meeting kids and teens who stutter, many times they've never met somebody else who stuttered.
Right.
And, you know, particularly meeting an adult, it can be very empowering. And, you know, I hate to use the word, but I will, even inspirational. You know, because it just gives them some hope that, you know, they'll turn out all right. And yeah. I imagine it's kind of like the same for their parents, too.
Definitely. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. So you mentioned something I think is like critical in therapy. You mentioned that a big aspect of it is counseling. Did you get training in counseling during your SLP education?
I had like one full class on counseling, and then it was incorporated into my classes. But like outside of that, most of how I learned was through my supervisors, because like I ended up doing a lot of like fluency therapy, especially because I was like, give me all the fluency clients. And like, I volunteered above and beyond my practicums and stuff to get them.
Okay.
And so I learned a lot more by actually doing it with my supervisors who were really good at it than I really did in my classes.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked that because I've sometimes heard through the community and some other, women who stutter, who are also SLPs, that there isn't a great deal of counseling education provided, you know, and since that is such a big thing in therapy, especially for stuttering, it just kind of makes you wonder, like, how are young SLPs prepared to deal with that? So it sounds like you were like really lucky winding up in the program that you did.
Yeah, I totally see what those people are saying. I think we could do so much better as a field to prepare our students for counseling in their therapy, in their practice. Because yeah, like there isn't that much explicit training on it. And so a lot of my friends who didn't have the same caseload I did, like come to me and they're like, how do I counsel? You know, like, what do I do? And so it's hard when you don't know what you're doing. Cause it's like, it's not easy to figure it out, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great that you were mentored. It sounds like by, you know, good people in the field that, you know, were able to model for you good counseling approaches, because I agree with you. I think that's probably the most critical aspect of good speech therapy is somebody that's able to counsel around the feelings that comes with stuttering, because obviously we both know that stuttering is so much more than what does or doesn't come out of our mouth. It's, you know, all that other stuff that we deal with, you know, the layers below the tip of the iceberg.
Definitely.
You know, so for me, when I did therapy, and I only did it as an adult, I didn't have any therapy when I was a kid. I had been very covert for years. And when I finally went into therapy, what I wanted and needed to work on was realizing that it was okay to stutter.
Right.
And I wanted, I mean, I needed to stutter. And my therapists were just focusing on fluency shaping. And that didn't work.
No, yeah.
You know, so I was fortunate that I got a good clinician that understood that and had good basic counseling skills and helped me deal with the shame and the acceptance and all that stuff. And that's so important when you're, you know, on this journey. So I just said all that to just share that I understand the importance of the counseling aspect, and I'm so glad to hear that you're doing that, and it sounds like successfully.
Well, thanks. Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. That was my experience with my own therapy too. Like, I also didn't have therapy as a kid, and I was very covert, and that is still my goal, is like being okay with stuttering more and like stuttering openly and stuff, like fluency shaping stuff, strategies, all this stuff only goes so far. It's only so helpful. Like, if you're not okay with yourself, like there's no point.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
So how come you didn't get therapy as a kid?
You know, I think it was just when I was a preschooler, my twin brother and I both stuttered.
Oh, you have a twin.
I know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's like my fun fact. but he recovered.
Okay.
Which is so backwards. Like, I'm supposed to recover, not him. I'm a girl.
Right.
But he did, and I didn't. I still have some thought that maybe he didn't totally recover, but I mean, he thinks he doesn't stutter, so whatever.
Do you ever hear him stutter or see like signs of like he's word switching or covering it up or stuff?
Sometimes he has like a lot of like disfluencies, whether they're normal or whether they're not normal, it's hard to know, but he does a lot. And then I always point them out because I'm a jerk. And he always is just like, whatever, I'm not stuttering, you know, I don't know. So, but anyway, he recovered, quote unquote, and I didn't. And so then, I, even as like a little kid, I just was really ashamed of it because I felt like it wasn't okay. And so, because he didn't, so it wasn't okay anymore. So I just stopped. I really just didn't talk throughout a lot of my childhood, or I whispered all the time. So,
oh, like, wow.
I'm not a shy person at all. There's not a shy bone in my body. But, like, everyone thought I was, like, this painfully shy kid. And so I was just so afraid of talking. And so then I just, like, spent, like, my childhood trying to figure out how to not stutter and, like, hid it from everyone. Like, my parents didn't know I stuttered until I told them, like, when I was 19. Like,
really?
Like, four years ago. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. So I hit it really well, quote unquote. You know, I just avoided a lot. So then no one knew.
So Is that still the case, or are you still, I mean, are you pretty overt now?
I'm not as overt as I'd like to be. I don't know. I go through phases, you know, whenever I go to a conference or whenever I have like more like a dose of speech therapy or I talk to someone, you know, it's like, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm great. I'm empowered, you know, but it's easy to fall back into doing that. So I am always, that's like my goal I'm working towards is like, you know, I preach a lot of like, be okay with yourself, accept your stuttering, you know, and like so many areas of my life, but coming to, when it comes to like me overtly stuttering, it's not, I don't do as much as I'd like to. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can relate to that. For a time, I felt like I was a hypocrite because I was kind of doing the same thing, like encouraging acceptance and, you know, empowerment and, being okay with your stutter when I had turned the corner myself. And then there were times, especially at work, where I really struggled with being vulnerable enough to stutter openly. And then I would feel like, oh my God, I'm not practicing what I preach. And, you know, and I, and it just made me feel like really, you know, like a hypocrite. So I can totally relate to that. And, you know, being covert for so long, for me anyway, and maybe it's true for you too, was just such a struggle. It was so exhausting all the time pretending to be something that I wasn't, and, you know, hiding a pretty big part of myself. So did you ever feel like that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I would say by the time I actually like really turned a corner and was like, I need to get speech therapy, I just felt like I was pretending to be someone, I was playing a character. I was going through life pretending to be someone I wasn't. It just felt very, very in authentic. And like the specific things that I do to avoid at this point are like changing like the tone of my voice and the pitch of my voice and stuff. And I did it so much that I have like a vocal nodule now.
Really?
Yeah. And so I actually went to the ENT like a couple weeks ago, and they found that, and they're like, you know, this is like, I knew I had one because I'm a speech therapist. I know what it's supposed to be. I know signs of it, you know? And so then when they scoped me, it just, I don't know. It's like more real now that it's like, I have damaged my voice because I avoid so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's a price that you've paid.
Right. Yeah.
So what made you finally decide to get some speech therapy?
Well, I was starting grad school in first speech pathology. And so I decided I needed to figure out my stuff before I was helping other people. And so then I went to an amazing therapist who was my supervisor at my school, at my university. Yeah, she's exceptional. And like, she was like my mentor and my role model for life, you know, and like, she's totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that, but like seeking that out, I just felt like I had to do something because I knew I wasn't in a good place and I was going to be working with people who felt the same way as me.
Yeah. So what was it about the therapy that was so amazing and so life changing? Can you put your finger on something specific that really clicked for you?
The biggest thing was kind of like what you were saying with your experience was that she like made me stutter. Like she told me it was okay to stutter. And like, she would like, I would be talking to her And if we had a conversation for more than like 5 minutes, she'd be like, you're avoiding right now. Like, you're not stuttering. You need to stop, you know? And like,
yeah,
really just holding me accountable. And like, it was just all counseling. Like, I, by that time, I knew all the fluency shaping strategies and everything. You know, I had to know them because like, we were tested on them in our classes. And so right. She knew that I knew them, and she knew I didn't want to use them. So, I mean, it was just all like being okay, with, you know, just being okay with yourself and accepting it and stuttering more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, are you involved at all with the stuttering community? Do you know other people who stutter, and, are you involved in like support or self-help?
Definitely. I am involved and wanting to always get more involved in the community. I love the stuttering community so much. But I currently lead a family chapter for the National Stuttering Association in Seattle.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's so great. So I lead it's based for kids and teens and families of those people who stutter. And then I'm also involved in, not as the leader, but just as a attendee with the adult chapter in the Seattle area.
All right.
And then like I'm the family programs coordinator for part of the US for the NSA too.
Wow.
Yeah. I kind of just started that like a couple months ago, but mm-hmm. I just kind of like help people start family chapters in the US. Which is awesome because we need more of them.
Yeah. So how did you find the National Stuttering Association?
That's a good, it kind of just found me. Like when I was at the University of Tennessee, my speech therapist, supervisor, everything, mentor, everything, she led the adult chapter at my school.
Okay.
So then I started to like co-lead with her towards the end, and it was, yeah, it just kind of was like literally like in my building. Like it was hard not, I couldn't not go, you know?
Right. And now look at you, like you're so involved, and you're providing support to kids and teens and families. That's just amazing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. It's kind of like full circle on your journey, sort of.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, there's still so many like ways that I need to, you know, improve and get better and stuff. But it's so empowering for people to give back to. I didn't realize that, but I'm having one of my teenagers in my family chapter start to co-lead with me, because even though he's not like, you know, he's still on his journey, it's so good for people to be mentoring. You know, it's so good for everyone involved. It's like mm-hmm. more than I thought it was, really.
Yeah. And that's a really powerful lesson to realize, isn't it? I mean, like we can help ourselves by helping others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like I, too, found, you know, like after a few years of attending the National Stuttering Association conferences, I wanted to jump in and become involved. And I found that by doing that, you know, it helped me to help others, and it felt so good to be able to like share, you know, my experiences and my journey, you know, with others that were kind of like just starting out on theirs. And it makes a big difference. It makes me feel good to give back, just like you
Definitely.
Said. Yeah. So are you going to the conference this summer in Chicago?
Yes, I definitely am. I'm really excited. It's my first year going.
Oh my God, that's great.
I know. I can't believe, I just like, I never could go because like I always had summer classes.
Okay.
But yeah, so this year I can go, and I'm helping to lead some of the family programs workshops too, because I'm a family programs coordinator.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so exciting. Your first one, and you're going to jump right in and get involved with stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. So are you all registered already?
Oh no. I am so excited for the conference, but it is like there's so many more things in my life I have to take care of before I get there that I have not even thought about it. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
But before the conference, before the NSA conference, I am actually leading a conference in Seattle. And so that is like literally all I can think about right now.
Oh, what kind of conference in Seattle?
It's, have you heard of Friends?
I have. I've been to some Friends conferences.
Yeah, so it's a for Friends one-day conference in Seattle that I have been organizing. And so it's next month. And so I'm
Well, how did you get involved with Friends too? Wow.
That's a good question. I went to two for Friends one day workshops when I was in Tennessee. There were never any in Tennessee, when I was there, but there was one in North Carolina one year and then in Ohio the next year. And so I drove like 8 hours just to go to the conference. And the first year I just went because one of my friends was going. He was like visiting from Washington to see me in Tennessee. And then he's like, let's go to the Friends conference 8 hours away.
Oh, how cool. Like,
okay, let's drive to Raleigh and go to the conference. So then we did, and it was amazing. Like, just like when I found the NSA, it changed my life. When I found Friends, it changed my life. I mean, again, it's that I was still struggling and having, like, I was still dealing with stuff on my own journey, but meeting parents of kids who stutter and like being able to talk to them and counsel them and meeting kids who stutter and teens who stutter and SLPs who were uncomfortable, like it made me realize that I could help them without being totally where I want to be.
Right.
You know, just like kind of what we were saying earlier. It was so incredible. Like I think it was last year when I went to Ohio, I just have this like moment in my mind of like I was talking to this couple of a teen who stutters, and the teen like refused to come to the conference, and he just like hated stuttering so much, and the parents came without him.
Oh my God!
I know, and they like even like this big tough guy like he just started crying like talking to me and like just hearing that you know I had come from like. Being in a, you know, I didn't feel good about myself. I didn't feel good at my stuttering and like being in that place, like where his kid is. And then now, you know, I am like not like that. And that I just kind of gave him hope that like things can change.
Right.
And that kid will one day like feel better about himself. You know, he could.
Right.
It was, we all just were crying. Very emotional.
Yeah. Wow. I can think of so many people that you probably met, in North Carolina, but, we need to start winding down.
Oh,
but
yeah.
did you meet Rita Thurman by any chance in the North Carolina one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she may have been organizing it.
Oh, actually. All right.
Yeah,
she's wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Wow. And did you meet Lee Caggiano? Was she at either one of them?
Yeah, she was at both of them. And she's the Friends person who's helping me organize my conference.
Okay.
So she'll be coming down to Seattle in April.
Oh, great. And what date in April is the conference?
It's April 21st.
All right, great. And where is it going to be? We can just promote it here for you.
Perfect. Awesome. it's at the Hearing Beach and Deaf Center in Seattle, And yeah, it's, I can like send you information. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
a private practice in Seattle.
Yeah. People can get more information from the Friends website, right?
Yes, so, definitely.
friendswhostutter.org. Yeah, wow, that's, you are busy.
Yeah, probably too busy.
Well, it has been wonderful having you as a guest today, and you are just inspiring like so many people with your journey and your enthusiasm, and what a gift to the speech language community that you're gonna impact people in your career. I just think that's amazing, and you're a great communicator.
Oh, thank you. That all means so much to me.
Well, thank you again, and I look forward to meeting you at the NSA conference in July in person. That'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really have enjoyed this so much.
Oh, great. And I have too. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. Na, na, na. Na, na.